We're going to jump around a little bit before we get settled down this morning, but we will get settled down. I would encourage you, if you can, please stay in and listen to the message this morning. If there's anybody in the nursery, Karen, would you go down and fill in for them? Just send them up this way if there is. And I want to pray before we start this morning. I ask you to pray for me and with me. Our dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you this morning. And Lord, I'm very needy. I'm very needy. I'm very inadequate for the needs of this hour. And I'm asking you, Lord, if you would, to help me. Please, Father, help us this morning to bring glory and honor to your high and holy and wonderful name. And Father, help me just to be what I ought to be and to unload your message in the spirit that it ought to be unloaded in. Father, please be glorified. I'll thank you if there's anything it would hinder. Please refrain it for just a few minutes. And I'll give you the glory and the honor and the praise for all that you do. Help me now. Help me to be faithful to you. In Jesus' precious name, I do pray. Amen and amen. Well, I want to preach to you this morning on continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Continue thou. Let's look in verse number. Maybe I should have read the verse there. Verse number 14 of 2 Timothy 3. The Apostle Paul says this: but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that's a semicolon, so let me finish the sentence. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And so this is, we've said it 100 times, I guess, in this sanctuary, many times in this sanctuary. This is the Apostle Paul on his deathbed giving instructions to young Timothy. And it's kind of odd. He chose his last letter to be written to a person and not a church. I think that's kind of interesting. But I want to preach to you on some things we ought to continue in. Some things that we ought to continue in. And I want to start out, and I'm going to jump around just a little bit here for a minute. I want to start out by asking y'all some questions. And I want you to answer them honestly, because there's a lot at stake with how you answer these questions. The first question is this: what kind of church do you want? And I'm going somewhere with it. I think I can tie this all together here in a minute. But what kind of church do you want? I mean, there's a whole smorgasbord. There's a whole rainbow, a spectrum of churches out there. You can just take your pick. What kind of church do you want? Now, let me ask you young families this. What kind of church do you want to raise your children in? Now, get serious. Because we're really interested in our children. We can make it, but our children, now that's different. That's a different story. Now let me ask you this. What kind of pastor do you want? Am I the kind of pastor you want? I think these are important questions. In fact, I don't think I know they're important questions. What kind of pastor do you want? You want one that never preaches on sin? You want one that just tells you everything's all right, whether it is or it's not, everything's okay? Do you want one that never says anything about issues that need to be addressed? Do you want a pastor that doesn't care about the direction the church is heading it in? Doesn't look into the future. It's not concerned about you, for you young families, your children. Here's what I'm asking you before we get started. What kind of church do you want? You want a church that'll tell you the truth even if it hurts? You want a preacher to preach a message to you that'll cut you like a two-edged sword? Even if it's the truth. In Hebrews chapter number 13, we'll just turn there because I'm not cranked up just yet, but turn to Hebrews chapter number 13. Verse number 17. Say amen if you're there. Here's what it says. Obey them that have the rule over you. Now, I think we're talking in a spiritual sense there. I believe we are. Who has the rule over you? Who has the rule over you? You might say nobody, and you might be right. But it seems that the biblical order is for somebody to have the rule over you. That seems like that's the biblical order, if I'm reading that verse right. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. Submission. Submit and submission, same root word, same root meaning. Obey and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you. Now, who's watching for your soul? Who's looking out for your soul? I believe we could some way fit the pastor into verse 17. Not one amen, but I believe that fits. And so here's what it's saying. It's saying to obey and submit because they're watching out for your soul. If I'm not watching out for your souls, I'm not a pastor to you. If I don't rule over you, I'm not a pastor to you. I could be a preacher to you, but I can't be a pastor to you. And that rule doesn't mean dictatorship. Think of it much like, I'll tell you what helped me a lot is 1 Timothy. The qualifications, the passage on the qualifications of a pastor, it said, one that ruleth well his own house. He kindly oversees the things. That ruling's not dictator type ruling. I don't think it's talking about that at all. But having said that, do you want a pastor like that? And having said that, do you want me to be disobedient to what the Lord has told me to do? He's told me to rule and oversee and look out for your souls. And you might say to me, well, what does that have to do with continuing on? And I can say this, the way we view and answer those questions and the way we continue on will determine what kind of church and what kind of pastor you're going to have down the road. That's right. You're going some way. You're going lukewarm route. You're going the sold out route. You're going the carnal route. You're going the casual route. Some way you're going, and the way you continue down your spiritual course is going to determine where you end up. Collectively, it's going to determine where this church ends up. I'd like everybody under 55 years old to stand up. Everybody under 55. All right, right here. Right here is the church 20 years from now. Here it is. Look, some of us will still be around, but we'll be worn out, if I can say it that way. And I don't mean that disrespectful towards the elderly folk. They can contribute in a great way, but I'm saying right here is the church. Y'all be seated. And the way you all continue over the next few years is going to determine what kind of church we have. Now here's what we can glory on. And by the way, I could just go on with this. I could ask you, what kind of Sunday school teachers do you want teaching your children? Well, that's a fair question, isn't it? What kind of deacons do you want being the deacons and doing the deaconing work at your church? What kind of special music do you want to listen to? You see, we're going to continue on, most likely. It may be a handful. It may eventually turn into a bigger group. I don't know. That's the Lord's business. But the fact of the matter is, barring catastrophic event or something, we're going to continue on till the Lord comes. But how we continue is going to affect what we are. And I want to tell you, it's not hard to serve the Lord, but it's hard to serve the Lord continually. It's not hard to pray, but it's hard to pray without ceasing. It's not hard to read your Bible, but it's hard to read your Bible on a daily basis. It's really not hard to come to church, but it's hard to come to church faithfully. I guess what I'm just trying to get you to think, get your mind thinking, what are some things that we need to continue on in so when we get down the road, we'll be where we're supposed to be? Paul's writing this last letter to young Timothy, and he says many things to him, but there seems to be an emphasis. He says to him in chapter 1, verse 6, stir up the gift of God within you. He says again, don't be ashamed in verse 8 and verse 12 and verse 16. The word ashamed shows up. He says, be a good soldier in chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Be a good athlete in verse 5, and a good farmer, verse number 6, and a good scholar in verse number 15. And it's kindly odd, but when he comes over to chapter 4 and verse 7, he said, I fought a good fight. He said, I've been a soldier. I finished my course. I've been a good athlete. I've kept the faith. I've been a good scholar. I believe that's what he's trying to say to young Timothy. He tells young Timothy to put them in remembrance. Really, I'm not going to teach this crowd much you haven't heard. I'm really not, but I'm going to bring some things to your remembrance to help you. I hope that's my responsibility. But I want you to notice what appears to be the burden of Paul's heart. In chapter 2 and verse 15, he says this, study to show thyself proved unto God. And then it goes down to the bottom part of the verse. I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 2, rightly dividing the word of truth. One of the last things he says to Timothy is you study and you rightly divide the word of truth. That's what he's saying to him. And I want you to notice what else is said in verse 16 through 21. Shun profane and vain babblings. Profane means heathen and wicked. Vain means empty and fruitless. Verse 23, notice what it says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid. In chapter 3 and verse 7, it talks about ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And I'm not so sure in context that maybe verse 25 and 26 is speaking to those who are in error. In verse 8, he said, "These also resist the truth." If I could say what seems to be the emphasis in my mind, it's telling Timothy how to handle and deal with truth and error. how to handle truth and error. I want to talk to you. And then he comes down in our text verse and he says this, but continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. In other words, he said, you need to continue in what you've learned, knowing who you learned them from. Now, in your mind, who's the most godly preacher you know? I'm just asking you, in your mind, you just start putting up the men we've had through here. Tell me who's the most godly in your mind. I don't want you to say anything, but I'm just saying in your mind, who's the most godly? The second most godly. The third most godly. The fourth most godly. The fifth most godly. And here's what I could say. Well, you really don't know, and I understand that. But there's something about godly people. You can get a feel that they've been with God. And if you were to pick those fellas, who it is, what they had to say might be something you wanted to listen to because of their godliness. And again, I want to ask you this. What kind of pastor do you want? What kind of church do you want? How do you want me to preach to you? You want me just not to ever say anything harsh or say anything hard or pinpoint a particular problem in the life? Should I do that in private? Should I just pick out every individual privately and say, hey, here's some things I've seen in your life? Maybe so. But here's what I think. If you're struggling with it, there's other people in this congregation struggling with it. I believe that. If you're struggling, other people are struggling. And so I want to preach to you this morning, talk to you this morning, if I could, on some things that we have learned that we ought to continue in. It's easy to start. It's easy to do anything sporadically. We have Bible school workers that will just work night and day for 2 weeks, but they can't do that year round. And they won't do that year round. And we've got some that for a special meeting, man, they'll pour their soul into it, and their heart, and they're wore out, and my, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. But they can't go on with it. And for whatever reason, that's how it is. But we're going to talk about some things, some truths that we need to continue in. And by the way, did you know truth can slip away from you? You can have truth today and not have it down the road. I want you to look in chapter 1, verse 13. Notice what Paul said to Timothy. At the first of this letter, he said, hold fast the form of sound words. Why did he tell him to hold fast the form of sound words? Hold fast. Get a good grip on it. Don't let it slip out of your hands. Why? Because you can have truth and the devil can steal it away from you. You can have truth and the devil will steal it away from you. Well, what should we continue in? Number one, we ought to continue with and in the Scriptures. I want you to notice chapter 2 and verse 15. I believe it's chapter 2. Again, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Notice chapter 3 and verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Notice what it says about the Scriptures. All Scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. As Paul comes down to the close of this, he places an emphasis on the Scriptures. We are convinced that the Bible for English-speaking people is the King James Authorized Version. We're convinced of that. I've taught through it and made comparisons and everything else, and we'll do that periodically, but I'm saying to you, we've got to stay with the Scriptures. If this church is going to be what it's going to be, if the Scripture says it, we have to try to line up by it. Well, you'd agree with that, would you not? I mean, if the Bible says it, we do it. And if we don't do it, we're in disobedience to the Word of God. We can't argue with that, can we? We stay with the Scriptures. We continue with the Scriptures. And sometimes we can start with the Scriptures, but deviate from the Scriptures. We mean well, and life gets busy, and we lose our priorities, and we get sight. Hey, we're flesh, and we miss the mark sometimes, and we have to go back to what thus saith the Word of God. When this church fails to continue in the Scriptures, you'll have nothing. You'll have nothing. When you say, I know that's what the Bible says, but can I tell you, you're going down the wrong road. If we're going to have any kind of a godly church, if the Bible says it, we're going to have to do it. Got to stay with the Word of God. So first thing, and it's so elementary, so ABC-ish, if I can say it that way, we stay with the Scriptures. And then I want to say this, we ought to continue in prayer. Am I telling you something great that you didn't know? Have I just revealed great revelation to you that we ought to continue in prayer? Luke 18:1, how many times have I quoted here, men ought always to pray and not to faint? 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. I've got 5 or 6, 7 more verses there that tell us we ought to pray on a regular basis. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. David prayed on a regular basis. Paul prayed. Jesus prayed. Hey, Jesus himself prayed. If this church is going to be anything, if y'all going to have anything for your children, you young families, somebody's going to have to start praying. You know, that sounds so... I feel like I'm just teaching the primer class. I feel like what I'm saying here, that Blake knows it. That Blake has that down. That Laney and Malia and my grandchildren know what I'm already preaching. But can I tell you something? We're not praying right. So how do you know? I'm convinced we're not praying right. God said He'd answer us if we pray. We need some prayer warriors around here. And I know He's answered some prayer, and there's some that do pray. But I want to tell you, there's some not praying like they ought to. Now, I want you to slow up a minute. The Bible said pray without ceasing. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And I'll look up these other verses for you if you want them. But I've got so much preaching here this morning, I don't think we need to. Why is it those of you who's not praying, why are you not praying? The Bible told you to. Preacher Wayne, I can't make you pray. I don't want to make you pray. But I want to oversee this little congregation. And if I see something that I think's missing, I feel like I have an obligation to say something about it. Why aren't you praying like you ought to pray? How many of you combined prayer all week? I won't even ask you to raise your hand. It's 2.5 hours. 2.5 hours. How many of you pray 30 minutes a day? If I was to take a vote and you had to be honest, I would suspect it's less than half. I don't know what you think. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to manipulate you. I'm trying to be an overseer and share with you some things our church needs. We need some praying people. If we don't read the Word of God and we don't pray, can I just tell you what we're doing? We're playing. We're just playing. And some of you may be just playing. Just playing around with the work of God. Souls in the balances and eternity at stake and playing around with God's Word and playing around with your prayer life. Would you just, instead of getting mad at me, would you just say this? Is the preacher right? Is my pastor right? Is my pastor telling me the truth? Would you just ask yourself that question? Is my pastor trying to be mean to me? Or is he trying to help me? Am I supposed to obey and submit to that one that rules over me and watches out for my soul? I'm just asking you. If you think I'm angry at you or wanting to beat you over the head, you've missed it. You're 1,000 miles from where you ought to be. I sure would like to see a church here that's on fire for God 20 years down the road, 10 years down the road. Like to see that. It won't happen. Listen, young folks, with children, you won't have a church fit for your children to go to if you don't read the Word of God on a regular basis and pray on a regular basis. You won't have a church fit for your children to go to. It'll be dead, dried, probably formalistic. World is the devil. It'll be gone. Now maybe I shouldn't say that. Maybe that ain't the right thing for a pastor to say. But that's the truth. That's what we ask. Somebody's got to start praying. We need to be praying people. I could go around this room, there's not one member that couldn't give me 2 or 3 prayer requests. We had 4 people at prayer last night. Now, don't all of you run out here next Saturday night to prayer. I'm not trying to get you to come to prayer. I'm just trying to say somebody doesn't put the emphasis on prayer that ought to. We got 4 preachers and 7 deacons, and there was 2 at prayer last night. And there may be legitimate, perfectly legitimate reasons. And that's fine. And I'm not even trying. If you do it for me, you've done it for the wrong reason. What does it matter doing it for me? I'm talking about doing it for the Lord. He said, pray without ceasing. You ought to go with a prayer on your heart, your lips. You ought to stay in a spirit of prayer, or at least try to stay in a spirit of prayer. And I could preach on we ought to continue in holiness, but I'm convinced if we pray, truly pray, and truly read our Bibles right, we'll be holy people. How shall a young man cleanse his ways? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. You want to get sin out of your life? Get in the book. Get in the Word of God and read it and say, oh God, show me truth and help me. And pray and beg God, and I'm telling you, He'll help you today. He'll help you. We ought to continue in prayer. We ought to continue in separation. Separation from false doctrine, those that teach. This old thing of everybody coming together under the brotherhood of man, fatherhood of God, that ecumenical movement, it's out of hell. It's out of hell. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Romans 16 and 17. Avoid them. I've got a multitude. I've got a multitude. 2 Timothy 2 and 16. What did it say? But shun profane and vain babblings. That's what a lot of this false doctrine is. You don't even need to take time to Time to fool with that. I'm not talking about somebody serious about the truth, but this crowd out there trying to change you into what they want you to be. Leave them alone. Stay with the truth. A heretic after the first and second admonition. What did the Bible say do after you've warned him twice? Reject. That's what the Bible says. Why is it God's people so entangled? Entangled. And I can show, I've got scriptures here we ought to separate from unruly brethren. But can I tell you what else? We ought to separate from the world. Why is it God's people looks like the world's crowd? Why is that? Why is it we look like the world? Why is it we go where the world goes? Why is it we talk like the world talks and we're interested in what the world's interested in? Why is it God's people are supposed to be separated and sold out to God? Why is it we're just like the world? No wonder they don't want anything we have. We're wanting what they've got instead of them wanting what we've got. We're not to even bid them Godspeed. Our appearance ought to be different than the world. Our conversation ought to be different than the world. Our demeanor ought to be different than the world. Our love ought to be different than the world. God's children ought to be different. And I know that alienates you. I know that makes you feel odd, especially you younger folks. Makes you feel odd. I'm so old now, it really don't bother me too awful bad. But I know to be different in a crowd makes you feel self-conscious and odd. But God's people don't belong in the world's crowd. We just don't. And if you're fitting in, Richview Baptist Church, let me say this. If you're fitting in the world, and you're real comfortable there, you're not right. Because when you're right, you're an oddball to the world. Now, am I being mean to you, or am I just telling you the truth? You need to ask yourself, if I'm a mean guy and I'm just waiting to beat you over the head, I wouldn't come to church here. I wouldn't do it. I'd find me somebody cared about me, cared enough to tell me the truth, even when it hurt. You got to decide that. Am I trying to manipulate you? Am I trying to be the puppeteer and get you to do this and do that? And I'm going to flick my little wrist a little bit. You're going to do just what I'm not a bit interested in that. I could care less about that. But I do care that we have a godly nucleus of people that won't serve God. And I feel like I have to warn you. I don't think we're praying right. I don't even believe we really believe in the power of prayer. I don't believe we believe in it like we ought to. I don't believe we're humbling ourselves and seeking His face like we ought to. How long's it been since you got through? I think that's a fair question. Are you separated? Are you continuing on in separation? You remember a time when you're more separated than what you are right now? You may be backslidden. Is this church a separated church? You do know the building's not the church, don't you? You know who the church is, don't you? It's the people. Can I tell you, if y'all are lukewarm spiritually, we're lukewarm. And we can get a big high going for a special meeting. You know that. We can have a special meeting. The singing starts, we shout it out. The preacher starts, and we preach it out. But what are we behind closed doors? Are you any different in the world's crowd? Do they see something different and you say, hey, there's something special about that fella? We need to continue in the Word of God. We need to continue in prayer. We need to continue in separation, and we need to continue in consecration. And here's where I really want to spend a little time at. Are you consecrated? This is for you, not me. I'm real uncomfortable doing this. I'm real uncomfortable saying these things to my friends and my family, knowing you could take offense. But you know what the Lord told me to do? Be an overseer. To rule. To watch for your souls. Because you don't do, you've been told to obey and submit, but because you don't do what you ought to do, should that mean I shouldn't do what I'm supposed to do? I have to do this. I have to do these things from time to time. That's my responsibility as the pastor. Did you know? You know how the Lord will clean your life? I've heard people say, well, just get them saved. I'll let God clean them up. You know how God cleans you up many times? Through preaching. He cleans you up through preaching of the Word of God. And if you're serious and I'm preaching to you, you'll take what I say serious. You'll say to yourself, Lord, is that so? Is He telling me right? Does He care? Is He concerned? Are you consecrated? You put the Lord first in your life. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. I want to read this one because I'm going to spend just a little time here. I said chapter 6, verse number 33. Maybe that's where I want to go to. Here's what Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Here's what I want you to get, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. He goes on and says, take therefore no thought for the morrow take a thought for things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Here's what he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now let me put that in East Tennessee talk. Put God first. Put God first in your life. Here's what the Lord wants out of your life. He wants you to put Him first. He's not a sideshow. No, He's not on the back eye of the oven in the main. What you're interested in is over here on the front where you can see it. He said, put Me first. That's I could take you over there to Luke 14, and He said, if you don't love Me more than you love mom and dad and brother and sister and all this, and He goes through on, you can't be My disciple. And really what that's saying, that's not saying you to hate your mom and dad and all that. It's not saying that at all. What it's saying is, I have to be first. Now here's what I'm asking. Do you want to go to a church where people don't put the Lord first? Is that the kind of church we want? Where the Lord's secondary. We work Him into the schedule. Is He first? What comes ahead of the Lord? What has to be on the schedule for you to say no to God and yes to whatever? Is there anything? Is there anything if it's church, the work of the Lord, the honor of God, and things of the world? What is it? What is it that's going to win out over God? And you know I could be very specific this morning. We're a small group. We know everything everybody's doing. And I could set you down and we could talk. You could get mad at me. But the bottom line, Do you want to go to church where people's not consecrated? Do you want Sunday school teachers who does not put God first teaching your children? Do you want deacons in your church carrying out the work of God who does not put God first? Do you want a pastor that does not put God first? What do you want? You're going to decide. The Bible teaches God first. That's what it teaches. If you don't put God first, you're not consecrated. And if this body as a whole does not put God first, we've got a church that puts God secondary. I know it's real quiet, but I'm preaching to you right. And I've got a list of examples I could give you. Let me see if I can give you one. Let me give you one of somebody that's no longer with us. They took a vacation, stayed in town, missed both Sundays on each end of the vacation. They were in town, but because it's their vacation week, they didn't come the Sunday before or the Sunday after. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's somebody don't care about the work of the Lord. You say whatever you want to say, and you can have whatever reason, but God has to come first if this church is going to be right. And maybe I'll just swing the sword a little stronger than that, but I'm not going to. I'm hoping I've got some sincere people that care about serving God, and they'll say the pastor's right. And I need to make some changes in my life. There's leadership I have to ask five or six times to get what I need. Won't even answer the telephone. You just about have to beg them to do what they're supposed to do. I'm telling you, something's wrong somewhere. We'll take a vacation day to go to Dollywood, but we won't take a vacation day to come to Bible conference. Is that unfair, preacher? Maybe. You've just got a week's vacation. I understand it. But I wouldn't trade Bible conference for Dollywood 5 days to one. I just feel like it's my job to warn you all about that because I'm the overseer. I'm not trying to be mean to you. I say just get right with God, and if you are right, just write me off. But if I'm telling you the truth, change, repent and get right and change your ways. I don't have a hard bone in my body. I'm not grinding an axe this morning. I'm just saying the way we continue is the kind of church we're going to have. If we're a prayerless church, that's what we are. If we're a carnal bunch of people, we're a carnal church. Take vacations and put ourselves in all kinds of temptations. How a normal human adult can go on a beach with women wearing women's colored underwear and not lust, I don't know how they do it. I don't understand how they can do that. And I'm not against vacation. I hope. Maybe y'all think I'm just some kind of hard line. Take your vacations. But don't put yourself in Sodom and Gomorrah to vacate. Separate from that crowd. Go when they're not there. Bye, we could go on. We've got leadership. One of the things that we eat together and do things together is to promote fellowship, to bond, to promote that oneness, that family relations, that love we have for one another. We got folks who won't even support it because they don't like outings. Now I know some of you sick. If you're sick and can't come, I'm not fussing at you about that. But those things are not done just so we can have a party. The church don't have dinners and outings and get-togethers just because we won't just eat and work the ladies up. That's not what it's about. It's about to promote Christian love and fellowship amongst us. Here's what I'm trying to say. And some of you come out of obligation. Please don't come out of obligation to me. Don't do anything out of obligation to me, but please do it because it's right, because God spoke to your heart. You want your church, you want to be right first, and then you want your church to be right. We ought to continue and consecrate. If we're not a consecrated group, and while I'm at it, I just want to tell you this, mediocrity is a sin in the work of God. Always do your best. And it may be mediocre. It's not a sin if you're doing your best and it's mediocre. In fact, it won't be mediocre in the eyes of God if you do your best. I just wonder if you as you Sunday school teacher, I'll pick on you for a little bit. If you had to admit how much time you put in your lessons a week, I wonder if you could say to me, I'm giving it my best effort. I wonder if you could. I don't know. And I guess it's good I don't know. God expects us to give our best. What does Colossians say? Heartily is unto God and not unto men. He's talking about employees to their employer, but we can apply that in the Lord's work. We're to do it with our whole heart. And I know we're busy and we've all, and really, the reason we're busy, the reason you're as busy as you are, it's you. Do we not try to do 30 hours worth of activities in 24? Slow up a little bit and let God have first place. We need some consecration. We're going to have it if we have a church. I wouldn't want my kids. I'm going to speak to you young folk because a few years, it's going to be you. I wouldn't want my kids going to the church where they wasn't consecrated and sold out to God. Lukewarm. Half in the world, half out. I wouldn't want it. I don't think you want it. I think I know you all. I think you want a godly church. Ecclesiastes 9 and 10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with, and I'm probably butchering the scripture a little bit, but do it with all thy might. Hey, let's put our heart in this work here. Don't make me beg and pull and pump and drag. And it's no good. Just do what you're supposed to do and do the very best you can and do it the right way. We ought to continue in the Scriptures, continue in prayer, continue in separation, continue in consecration. Get rid of that mediocrity. And then we ought to continue with our brotherly love. If you're mad or angry at me right now, you're not right. You're not right. Because I'm trying to help you, not hurt you. And you may very well be. And you may very well be think I'm pointing you out or picking you out. I'm not doing anything. I'm preaching to you the Word of God. Continue in the thing. Have you learned that the Scriptures are important and you're to study to show yourself approved? Have you learned y'all to pray? Do you know that fact? Then continue in it. Do you know y'all be separated from the world? Y'all be an oddball in the world's eyes, but they see something there that's special, and they know that's missing in their life. Are you consecrated? Does the Lord come first? I've got all kind of examples. I'm not going to do that. You get my point. I hope you do. I hope I've said enough and not embarrassed anybody or not put anybody down. I'm just saying, would you put God first for the sake of this church? For the Lord's glory, first of all. For the church and for your own spiritual well-being. I don't think you can be right unless you put the Lord first in your life. Well, we continue in our consecration. We continue in our brotherly love. I'm telling you, if you've got hard feelings at any brother. I've had people leave here mad at me. How can you be right with God and mad at the preacher? If you're angry with me, how can you be right with God? Can I tell you? I'm telling you because I love you. You can't be. If I'm angry at you, I can't be right with God. It can't work that way. It doesn't work. If you want the scriptures, 1 John chapter 3. I believe it's chapter 3. Let me just go over there and read it to you. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. That's pretty strong, but that's the Bible. I'm going to tell you, if you've got hatred in your heart for somebody, you better get right. Your love for God's not right. You better start loving one another and be good to one another and overlook one another, and let's go on for the glory of God. Continue with our brotherly love. I've got a couple other things, but you need to continue with your giving, your financial giving. And that leads me to really my last point. You need to continue with the Great Commission. Now here's the fact of the matter. You need to get right. This church needs to be right. But then we need to reach out. We need to reach out. I think some of you give money to satisfy your conscience because you're not doing what you ought to do. You say, preacher, you're judging. I guess I am. But I wonder if that ain't the case. Well, here, I'll just give a little money and that'll take care of everything. It won't. But that doesn't excuse us from giving. Those of you God's blessed financially with a lot of money, you ought to be very giving to the needy. There's needy people out there. And they're not crooks. They're not trying to beat you or scam you out of your money. But when you find them good people in need, you ought to help them. If you can, and the Lord leads you to, you ought to help them. And then we ought to carry out that great commission. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. You see, if we continue in these things, and I know, I guess I've been... maybe compared to what some folks are used to, it might sound harsh to you, but I'm not trying to be harsh. I love you. I care about you. I probably want more for your children spiritually than you want. I probably want more for your children spiritually than you want. I probably want more for your grandchildren spiritually than you want. I want to see preachers and missionaries and deacons and Sunday school. That's what I want them to be. I don't care one flip about sports or whatever, entertainment or hunting or fishing, all that stuff. I just want to see them be spiritual champions. That is the burden of my heart. Mom and Dad, I can't override you, and I wouldn't dare even try to, but I don't major on the minor and minor on the major. Please don't do that. please don't do that. I've done that in my life. Say, preacher, you're talking from experience, from negative experience. Negative experience, if that makes any sense to you at all. I've learned more from doing things the wrong way than I have from doing them the right way. I probably want more for your children than you want. That's probably why you get frustrated at me sometimes. I want more for them. I care. I care about this church. And if you're a leader and you're really not interested in the Lord or the work of the Lord or the things of God, y'all just step down. Y'all just step down. You say, preacher, that's horrible to say that. Where are you going to lead us to? Where are you going to lead us to if you're not interested? If he's just second place, third place in your life. Oh, you make a good church member. Big part of Independent Baptist church members are not interested in the work of the Lord. Big part. My, if you're in leadership and you don't care, and only you know that, and you're not interested, and you're not willing to put an hour or two a week into whatever you're doing for the cause of Christ, you ought to be big enough to step down. And church, if I'm sideways, if I've been mean, if you see, I'm not satisfied with just run-of-the-mill Christianity. I'm not satisfied. I give everything to the work of the Lord. I've given it all. That's the truth. I've given it all. And the future's yet untold. I mean, the verdict's still out. I'm serious about the work of the Lord. I'm as serious as the old saying, I'm as serious as a heart attack. I'm as serious about this work. I'm not interested in mediocrity. I'm not interested in playing, but I'm interested in seriously serving God. And if you don't, if you're not, we're on two different pages. I don't know how to say it any plainer than that. I love you, but I've got to tell you the truth. I love you, but if you're not going to obey and submit, I still have to oversee. I still have to warn you. You see, if you just let this run off your back like water on a duck back, like water off of a duck's back, when we stand at the judgment seat, you can't say the preacher didn't tell me. Can't say the preacher. You can't blame me. I'm telling you today. You better get your separation. You better get your consecration. You better get your prayer life and the Scriptures right. You better do that. You better not play around with this thing of serving the Lord. Well, let's bow our heads this morning, Brother Allen. I'm asking you, if you would, to please get a song. And if you need to pray, if anybody needs to pray, I don't know, maybe everybody's cold and hard and got your guard up. I don't know. But the Lord spoke to you this morning. Would you be obedient to what He's told you to do? Sing, Brother Allen, when you get where you need to be.